Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and wow, we've got a lot of energy in the room this morning. We do, first of all, our...
Joe's getting really close to me.
Most of us here are very happy that the Phillies advanced in the playoffs last night.
Yay!
Let's go, Phillies.
Boo.
If you got another team you're supporting who you think could beat the Phillies and in the World Series...
The Yankees?
Well...
Yeah.
Call us at 215-953-4979 this morning and weigh in. Tell us who you think is going to go all the way. The other interesting thing here in the studio this morning is apparently the fellas in editorial have designated every Tuesday as tie day.
No, Vinny did that.
And they've, okay, Vinny. And they've got some sort of competition every Tuesday now that where they all wear a tie, which is very unusual in editorial. We don't
this might be the last
ties
Tuesday,
very
though.
Often. And then they take pictures of themselves in the ties, and the rest of us ladies have to vote and see who has the snappiest tie look, I guess. So, Andy, can the camera see you? Andy's got a little lavender number here today.
I like it.
Yeah, it's very un-Captain Killjoy of you. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. Joe Haley, our managing editor, is wearing white with green. Now, Steve Hawk, you're going to have to get up and move over. Steve Hawk's our resident techie. And you've got, what would you say the shirt is? Like maroon?
Burgundy.
Burgundy? Burgundy.
Merlot.
Burgundy with a burgundy striped tie. And you're going to have to get in front of the
camera. That's an interesting choice you've got going there, Steve.
Our listeners don't get to see you often, and now they're in for a real treat. All right, so that's Steve. And then, of course, we have Vinny Driscoll over here, another one of our techies. Vinny, you're going to have to move in
front
of the camera.
You're going to have
to
stand up and
show the
wares.
Vinny, I think you have a winner here. Because what would you describe the pattern
there? Don't prejudice the voters.
Yeah,
graph
what is
paper.
Up?
Don't prejudice the voters.
On the shirt. You've got like a, what kind of
graph paper.
A graph paper shirt.
He picked it up at like a 99 cent store.
And a green and blue striped tie. And I have to say, it's very snappy.
Don't be jealous.
So anyway, if you want to weigh in on our ties here in the studio, call us at 215.
Where's your tie?
953-4979. The ladies don't have ties, but we're going to think of some other
scarves.
Item to sports.
Pashmina.
Pashminas, yes.
Pashminas Thursday.
So
well, who won last week? Who won that contest?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, you did in a fixed vote.
We're also going to be taking your calls today. If you have any questions on selling corporate gifts, because now is this season, please call us at 215-953-4979. Today we're going to give you a choice. If you make it onto the radio, you can choose from a $25 Visa gift card or a $25 Starbucks gift card.
Wow, so it's like the interactive prize giving.
It is. So give us a call now, 215-953-4979. Joe, tell us what else is on tap for today's show.
You got it, Melinda. What do you do when coworkers go from friend to foe? Anyone?
Well,
my sworn enemy, Kathy, has some insights.
Stay away from Kathy.
As we get closer to the end of the year, you need to get your clients thinking about corporate gift giving. So if you're having problems or need some advice, give us a jingle at 215-953-4979 or send an email to radio at asicentral.com. And if we put you on the air, well, Melinda just told you, you can score one of two different cards. Glug, glug. The UK is proposing a $286 million dollar alcohol ad ban, and that is dollar, not pounds. Stay tuned to find out what it could potentially mean for the U.S. Andy has swine flu tips courtesy of Counselor Magazine.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm going to cough.
You're going to be okay? Woo!
Only 25% of companies are managing marketing effectively and
effectively,
and Andy has the scoop. A recent Burger King revamp is aimed at higher-priced kin, and Kathy will sink her teeth into this story.
It's a whopper.
Ha ha, good one. What do you do when coworkers steal your ideas? Well, you have to listen to find out. Entrepreneurs are co-working, and we have the story on that. Who else but Captain Killjoy could bring us a story on the most annoying word? Our Hollywood Beat reporter, Ms. Houston, has a look at how to harness star power to shine in interviews. Do out-of-the-box job-seeking tactics really work? Well, Melinda will let us know. And if we have time, I have to clear the air about some recent major news. But first, the news with Andy.
I don't know, but he's got a major beef with it. New Jersey-based supplier Millennium Leather has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The company cited bank debt of more than $1 million. Company owner Phil Cahan told Counselor last week that he expects Millennium to emerge from bankruptcy within 3 to 4 months. He also says the company is operating as usual and is on track for sales growth of 10 to 20% this year. Selco has announced that it's now the exclusive supplier of Movado watches in the ad specialty market. The official launch of the deal will take place in January, and Selco will become the exclusive provider of watch brands such as Movado, Abel, Tommy Hilfiger, and Lacoste. Fast-growing distributor firm Boundless Network said last week that its CEO Sherman Atkinson and its senior vice president of sales Tom Rizzi are no longer with the company. Atkinson had just joined Boundless in May, but company president Jason Black says the distributorship is now pursuing a different strategy focused on organic growth, not acquisitions. Black will now transition back to the dual role of president and CEO. Plus, in Promogram later today, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show. Joe, what are you looking at today?
I think we're going golfing.
Oh, we are?
We are.
It's a little cold out for some golf.
You can golf year-round. My father used
to. Not here, though.
My father used to. They actually play winter rules, and you wear a big, heavy coat, and you take it off and you go to your ball. You hit it, you put your big, heavy coat
in. Is he a member of the Polar Bear Club?
He is not.
I went to the driving range with my five-year-old son this weekend.
Oh, how was that fun?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Andy Cohn. All right. This happens. Now, we're all friends in here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But what happens when coworkers go from friend to foe, Kath?
Well, you know, Melinda, friends in the workplace can be your greatest collaborators.
How do you collaborate if you can't say collaborate?
Well, you know what I mean. Oh. Working together, and they could be your biggest cheerleaders. And it's good to have friends in the workplace. On the other hand, it's also a sticky situation. For example, what if Joe started to hate me rather than love me? Mm. What would happen, Joe? How do you deal with that?
That boat already sailed.
What do you do if it's beyond repair? Here are some tips. Notice the warning signs and stay calm. The first step would be to communicate without casting blame to see if a minor misunderstanding can be straightened out. Do you think it can, Joe?
I'll try, Kathy. For you, I'll try.
Also, approach with caution. If the friendship is falling apart, you might want to act cordial, but slowly pull back, spending less time and sharing fewer intimacies with the individual.
Intimacies?
Intimacies. Well, you know, Andy, like telling you all my secrets and,
oh my God,
you know, talking about other people at work and blah, blah, blah.
I'm blushing.
The last thing you want to do also is to draw other people into your conflict or misunderstanding. And another thing is to understand the kind of friendship you have. The thing is that friendships are often fleeting. They don't last forever. They just last as long as the working relationship. So you just have to, you know, realize that they're transient and you don't want to do anything to jeopardize your employment and reputation. Particularly.
Yeah, keep it out of the office.
Right.
Have you guys ever worked with any people that don't like each other? It's a problem.
That don't like each other? Sure.
Yeah, it's a problem.
It's frustrating because you got to deal with one person come in and complain about the other, and then the other person comes in and complains and you're stuck in the middle. It's like, just leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Seriously.
I don't want to be friends or foes with either of you.
It's like because, you know, both of them want you to take their side in whatever the conflict or the issue is. And sometimes you have strong feelings about it. It's like, oh, well, this guy's right.
Just say, I want to stay out of it.
That's what I say. Just leave me alone.
Well, it's also a productivity drain for everybody.
Yeah. It is.
It gets in the way.
Stay professional.
Stay professional.
All right, we're taking your calls now on any corporate gift giving or corporate gift sales questions you might have. Call us at 215-953-4979. We have some callers on the line. On line two, we have distributor Gina, who has a question. Good morning, Gina.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi there.
I have a customer who comes to me for promotional products, but, you know, around the holidays, he always tends to go to gourmet stores for his corporate gifts.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering how I could convince him that I could do him better.
You know, I think that's a common problem, and there's so many things that you can offer that one of those stores can't offer. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of them is personalization.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that the store down the street can offer, you know, customized wrapping, packaging, logoing items, things like that. So that's a big one.
Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely. When people go to like a Harry and David's, those baskets a lot of times are pre-made, and mm-hmm. you don't have options to put in there, so you can offer them, again, customization. The other thing is, if they're going to a gourmet store to buy foods, get with industry suppliers and get samples, and, you know, the tasting the food well, you know, helps sell itself.
Yeah, show them that you can offer the same thing in the industry, and sometimes you'll even get a better price on it because you're ordering a lot more.
Sure.
Oh, wow. I never thought of any of this.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks very much. Stay on the line for your gift card. And awesome. You can tell us if you'd like Visa or Starbucks. And on line one, we have Lily from Shirts and More. Good morning, Lily.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good, thanks. What is your question, Lily?
Well, I have a client who has money to spend on holiday gifts. The problem is he wants this polo that's been discontinued. He insists that we should be able to find it, and he's really set on this shirt. What should I do? Because I don't want to disappoint him and possibly lose him as a customer.
You know, that can be frustrating because, you know, he has something that he likes and he's insisting on that. And you just got to go out and find something as close to it as possible and bring in samples. Again, just like with the food, shirt samples will work well. Do a good, better, best. And you say, you know, this is what you used to get, and this is very similar to it. Maybe it's something, maybe it's an eco-friendly fabric or a moisture-wicking fabric, something a little more high-tech than what he used to have, and then show him three different price ranges of that. And then, you know, see if he's going to buy, and if he really, really pushes, say, you know, that item doesn't exist anymore, but I think that this will work well for you.
Yeah, I think the samples are important because some people have their heart set on things, but if they see something in person, maybe they'll like it even better.
Right.
Yeah, and also the idea of, like Joe said, showing something that may be even better than what that person wanted, then, you know, but you can hit possibly the same price range, that might be something that could appeal to them.
You know, and explain to them, too, that's, you know, if it's a garment, I mean, styles are in and out. So, you know, what was hot 5-6 years ago might not be hot today.
Yeah, show off your fashion.
Yeah, there's a reason it's been discontinued.
Right.
You're right.
That's good.
Lose the polo.
Well, good luck, Lily.
Thank you very much.
Stay on the line for your gift card. We have a longtime caller, Stanley Appleman, on line 4, who has a corporate gifts comment. Good morning, Stanley.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. How are you? You're out. It's out early there in California, right?
It's very early.
Well, thanks for getting up to listen to us.
Yes, well, always. I try. My question was this, actually a question or comment. Something that just helped us for our fourth quarter. I was given a book called Appreciation Marketing, and it really speaks into the idea of doing things that others won't do as far as taking care of your clients, showing them that you care, and it comes back really tenfold. That was just a little tip I had. But the question I had is, I know that gift wrapping and packaging is really important and can upsell your product. But where do you draw the line? In other words, like if you're selling I've got a client that's looking at a $40 to $50 blanket, and some of the packaging is really, really expensive. I mean, how do you give them packaging but don't blow their budget out of control?
Well, I guess you'd offer them different kinds of packaging and scope it out with your suppliers. And, you know, present different options, like just like Joe said, with the good, better, best. Do the same thing with packaging.
Yeah, you know, because you could do something as simple as, I mean, think of when you know, take presents to any type of party, whether it's a holiday party or a birthday party. Things can go in a box with tissue paper. Things can go in a gift bag. Mm-hmm. You know, they're simple ways. You know, something will be a little more expensive than others. So, again, yeah, give them options.
A blanket, a nice blanket, couldn't you roll it up nicely and have like a logo ribbon?
Oh, yep. Yeah, absolutely.
So
that's a great idea.
You don't even need to wrap it, I would think. Right?
No, that's a great
idea. Yeah, you could even have the logoed ribbon and a little gift card
attached to it with like a personal message.
Just keeping it simple
from
whomever's
giving it to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would like.
I like the logoed ribbon idea. I didn't think of that one.
All right. Well, hopefully we gave you something good then, Stanley. Thanks so much for calling. Stay on the line for your gift card. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, you will.
All right. On line 3, we have Paul, a distributor with a corporate gifts question. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, guys. How about them Phillies, huh?
Yeah. All right, Paul.
So what do you think? Think they're going to go all the way?
I think the Dodgers are in trouble. That's what I think.
All right.
We'll see what happens in the next round. But listen, I have a quick question for you guys. I have a customer who's telling me she has money in her budget, wants to buy corporate gifts for the holidays, but is sort of dragging her feet. And I don't want to have to rush the orders, you know, and I'll be honest, too. I like the revenue now rather than later. How do I get her to move along and start buying?
Oh, I think you got to be in constant contact with her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, clients will do that. They're busy, end-of-year events and sales and whatever your clients do. And she wants to do this, but you need to be, you know, there to push her. You need to be her marketing arm and to tell her that, you know, it's better to get this done now so we're not rushing at the last minute. The potential to, you know, look at a product that might be out of stock.
Right.
There might be lead times on that. So you need to get proposals ready for her. Talk to her, find out what she wants to do. Again, find a variety of products that will fit the needs. And then, you know, see, is this going to be available or is there going to be a long lead time for imprinting? Is it coming from overseas? So,
right.
I mean, I think it's constant contact.
You know, if they send something to their client the week before Christmas, the client's going to get 50 other gifts that week. They may be out of the office then. I would propose sending something as early as Thanksgiving and saying, you know, thank you for your business in conjunction with Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. That's going to stand out way out of the pack further than a gift that's sent around, you know, traditional Christmas, Hanukkah period.
Right. Also, you know, advisor that some suppliers even give discounts for early birds that do their holiday shopping early. So along with the choice, like Joe said, you want to have more choice and you want to have more possibility for discounts.
Yeah, I mean, and this is not uncommon for clients to wait till the last minute.
Yeah, and like we were talking about before with a previous caller, the client that's going to do their gift buying at the end of the season, they're going to end up in a retail outlet with stock items that are just off the shelf. So you have to convince them now that the personalization that they can get through you is going to be better than anything they can get just to buy, you know, 10 gift baskets, like Joe said before, that are stocked with items that you can't predetermine.
Yeah, and if she has this in the budget, she's got to spend it, because if, you know, next year comes around, she doesn't spend it this year, they're not going to put it in the budget for her next year. And so you're going to miss out on the money this year and next year. So light that fire.
All right.
There you have it. Light the fire, Paul.
Light the fire.
I can do it. See you guys. Be well.
Stay online for your gift card. Thanks very much.
Light the fire, Joe.
Light the fire.
Yeah.
We have another caller, Chris Stevenson. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning.
Chris, you're a distributor?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What's your question?
Well, my question is, in the situation, you know, with everyone cutting back on their spending, and we've seen this a couple now, where clients are saying, well, you know, we're going to cut out the gifts because they look at it as the extra frills.
Yep.
I mean, what's the best way to convince them that, hey, it's still a good idea to do the gifts and not cut back on that?
Sure. Are you familiar with our ad impression study, Chris?
No.
Okay. Well, if you go on ASICentral.com and look under research, you'll find our ASI's ad impression study. It tells it's something you can show to clients. It tells them exactly how many impressions they get from a product you send them. So if you send them a nice holiday gift, like a desk accessory, it tells you that basically their cost per impression for that desk accessory is 0.004 cents. So that's a really compelling statistic, I think, to show that, you know, the investment is – you know, the return on the investment is amazing.
You know, also, I think your clients need to be thanking their customers and their employees as much as possible these days. So even if it's a lower cost gift than maybe they had done in the past, you know, creating both customer and employee loyalty moving into 2010 is as important as it ever has been. So that's a selling point I would use as well.
Plus, I think, like you said, with everybody cutting back because of the economy, your client sending a gift is going to be the one that stands out from all the competitors.
Absolutely. You don't want to be, you know, well, no one else is doing it. Well, be the guy that
right.
does it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, good luck, Chris. Stay on the line for your gift card. Thanks so much for calling today.
Thank you.
We are going to pause now for our commercial from today's show sponsor. When we return, we'll get some swine flu tips from Andy Cohen.
Good.
Today's show is sponsored by I Promote You. Suppliers, distributors, and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, email opportunities at ipromoteyou.com.
We're back with ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Now, Andy, there's a lot of scuttlebutt about this swine flu. Is it going to be bad? Is it not? Do we need to get shots?
Well, is it going to be bad? Yeah, it's going to be bad if you get it.
Anyway, there's a lot of precautions that businesses should be taking right now, whether we all get shots or not, to help prevent the spread should it become a real problem in the office. So
it's true. The Chamber of Commerce actually just released a report that was essentially a warning to businesses about the lost productivity that they could have, especially smaller businesses, if any of their employees are out for an extended period of time due to the flu or any sickness, really. So let me just give a few of the ideas that they had in this report, and we could put the rest on our website as well. But the first point is to update your sick leave policy. You know, if your employee is ill these days, you really want to encourage them to stay away from the office and not infect anybody else. So that sort of precaution is really going to help sort of alleviate the spread of it in the office place. Second is to cross-train employees to perform each other's functions. So if one person is out, you have somebody else who can pick up the slack. And then this other one is interesting. They call it promote social distancing. Do you know what social distancing is?
Yeah, don't have face-to-face meetings.
That's exactly right. Kathy maybe read the report.
I did.
So they say limit the face-to-face meetings, and Joe just moved as far away from me as he possibly can be. And also allow employees to work from home. If they can do their function at home, you know, allow them to do that. And lastly is to create a contingency plan in case of any vital employee who might be out for a long term. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a plan in place that says the steps that the company's going to take in case somebody is out for a long time.
I think some of these are solid tips. Some of them, though, I think I wonder how realistic they are, like social distancing. I mean, are they really recommending that people cancel face-to-face meetings?
How about you have face-to-face meetings with recommending face masks?
that's an option. They're recommending that you limit them. I think it's just to actually think about it.
Should we sit further away?
Well, yeah, obviously.
It's too late.
We've already
we all work too closely.
I promoted social distancing from Joe a few weeks ago. He was so sick that he had he had a bottle of Robitussin on his desk.
Yeah.
That's like
he was chugging it.
Yeah, and I stayed far away from him, boy.
Boy.
Boy. But really, you know, is that going to help, having meetings?
I think that the idea is to think about when you need to have a meeting or when it's a necessary meeting or if it's just to sort of,
let's face it, a lot of meetings are unnecessary.
No,
it's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
So the idea is for managers
to cut out meetings.
Right.
Think about it.
All right, social distancing. And how far should the distance be?
I'd say at least 50 yards.
All right.
Can I go?
Close enough for a field goal, but far enough away that...
All right, Joe, you mentioned this alcohol ad ban in the UK. What is going on?
Well, they're really starting to step up their efforts to kind of curb binge drinking. And we all know what binge drinking is.
I don't,
Kathy.
Joe.
Kathy.
Never been there.
Well, you know, she's
never done it.
People drink to excess and then, you know, get sick all over the place. It's prevalent on college campuses. Mm-hmm. But to combat this, they're recommending a complete ban on all alcohol advertising and sponsorship in the UK. The move would deplete about $286 million in spending from an already struggling British media industry. So
what does it mean?
So it means that there'd be no more alcohol ads on TV, no more alcohol sponsorship of sports teams. There's going to be no more alcohol-related ad specialties.
That was ice in the glass, it sounds like.
France already has one of these bans. There's no alcohol advertising. Steve, you're making us thirsty. Allowed on TV.
Can I have one?
However, binge drinking is starting to creep into the French society. Germany's got a problem with binge drinking as well. So if it happens there, the ban happens there. How soon before it crosses the pond?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Liquor,
you know,
ads are banned, correct? From the U.S. Or liquor TV ads.
No. There's actually Captain Morgan ads. I think they kept them.
Absolutely
Morgan.
Not.
You can't show someone drinking alcohol in a commercial.
They're
considering
banning them from football.
Stadiums.
I don't think in-stadium
advertising.
I don't think any item should really be banned from being advertised.
What about
cigarettes?
People
can't make the decision.
Cigarette advertising on TV, you know, got the boot when late 60s, early 70s. Yeah. Now it's,
so you
know, it's
wrong.
Just magazines.
Bring back cigarette advertising.
Well, I mean, I'm not a smoker, and I've made the choice not to smoke.
Yeah.
But can't other people make that choice as well? I mean, they're selling products.
Well, I guess
they're not illegal products.
I guess there's the children factor.
But
yes, marketing to children is different. I agree with that. But marketing, banning advertising as a whole for alcohol or cigarettes or whatever it is, you know, if it's a product that is legal.
All right,
I don't understand.
For or against, Andy?
Well, I'm against the ban of advertising,
and
for sure.
And cigarettes advertising, too. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, Joe? Mm-hmm.
I'm against
thing?
It. No, against? No, the ban's not good.
Kath?
The ban's
ban
against.
Is not good.
All right, so we're all against it.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, just but thinking about all the alcohol advertising in this country and the alcohol ad specialties, you know, spring breaks, all those companies bring the coolers and all types of things to give out to students. I mean, all that stuff could be banned.
All right.
And
well,
what, Andy?
You'll
Let's
keep
hope
us up
not.
To date. We've got an email an email listener who has a corporate gifts question. She wants to know if it says, do you have a rule about how much you spend on client gifts? I would say the answer is no, but what do you guys think? Is there any gauge that companies use for this?
I would say that your higher-end clients, the ones who spend more money, should be considered a little differently
than
someone who's, you know, spending $300, $200 with you for a year. But those people are, clients are important too, so you don't want to forget them.
So what's
them.
Like a small item that you would give your run-of-the-mill client and then like a special item for your really top clients?
You know, run-of-the-mill, maybe you're going to send a nice holiday card.
Magnet?
Magnet. Oh, yeah. A little calendar Magnet calendar, yeah, yeah. A little desk calendar.
Pen, a nice pen.
Yeah. Maybe. For a higher end client, you might do something like a fleece blanket.
Desk
accessories.
Thank you.
Digital photo frame.
Digital photo frames are
Where
very
would
nice.
Calendars fall in? Nice I guess stuff. They could run
calendars
the gamut.
Calendars vary in yeah. quality and price. Mm-hmm. You could yeah. give, you know, just generic ones.
Because I think
you.
Everybody appreciates a calendar. And if you, I mean, you know, they run the gamut from price, so you can.
Sure, you could have a couple different tiered price
right.
calendars.
Right.
That's a great idea. And that would be something really easy yeah. to put together.
Speaking of 2010 calendar options, we have a calendar showcase in the November issue of Counselor, so be on the lookout for that.
What's the coolest calendar we're featuring?
Well, there's like a mouse pad calendar where you pull each page is a month, so mm-hmm. you just pull it off as you go. I think that's pretty cool. There's some high-tech ones that are cool.
Awesome. All right, I hope we've given you some ideas, Leah. Email us your contact info and tell us whether you want a Visa or a Starbucks gift card. Thanks for emailing it. All right. Now, Kathy is going to talk to us about Burger King. What are they doing?
Burger King is doing a massive overhaul of their restaurant decor. What do you think about that?
So they're not going to have like those loud colors anymore?
No. The sleek interior is going to include rotating red flame chandeliers.
Okay, so they're still keeping with the,
yes.
the red motif.
Rotating, huh?
Yeah.
They're classing up the joint.
Yeah.
They're brilliant TV screen menus and industrial-inspired corrugated metal and brick walls. It's going to be contemporary, edgy, and futuristic.
What's the goal behind this?
Well, first of all, Burger King mandates that all its franchise owners are contractually required to update the mm-hmm. restaurant decor whenever they say so.
Okay.
And they're trying to make it more hip and urban and masculine to attract their more loyal clients,
so
which would be young.
Flaming burger chandelier.
Yeah.
That's hip, urban, and masculine.
That's
well it's definitely not feminine.
No.
Andy,
I like
masculine.
That they're looking for the both contemporary and futuristic look at the exact same time. I wonder how you
achieve
that.
This is straight from the chairman and CEO, John Chidsey. He says he'd call it more contemporary, edgy, and futuristic. Okay, get this.
Here we
it
go.
Feels so much more like an upscale restaurant.
Yeah, right.
Right.
It's too bad they don't serve anything.
All the restaurants I go to that are really nice have rotating burger chandeliers.
Well, my kitchen does.
That's
and
an
you're so upscale
sure.
at the Houston household.
Wow.
All right, Andy is going to tell us the most annoying words in America, apparently. So please,
anything
don't use
that
these.
Comes out of Andy's mouth.
So there was a poll of about 1,000 U.S. consumers, and they were asked, what's the most annoying word that you hear? Not mm-hmm. necessarily in business or just the most annoying word that you hear in social conversation or anything. What do you think it is?
Whatever.
You got it. Kathy answers my questions.
I was
going to
say
and
win-win.
And it's annoying.
That's
come up with something else.
I hate win-win.
Yeah, win-win's bad. Whatever was the first one. Now, there's a few others that are definitely good. You know? Certainly
you
one.
Know.
People
know.
Yeah.
And this phrase is something that's become extremely popular. It is what it is.
Oh, I hate that.
I
know,
say
my,
that.
My least, is this on the list when people say, let me be honest with you, or let me
no,
be frank.
That's
let's be frank.
Not on the list, but at the end of the day is. And that's really bad.
At the end of the
at
day.
At the end of the day,
it
yeah,
is what
it's
it
going
is.
To be
no.
the end of the day.
You know what my husband says all the time? Long story short.
Oh, that's
long story
a bad
short.
One too.
But not how about good. Combining? At the end of the day, it is what it is.
Well, you could
whatever.
Say, whatever, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day.
Long story short.
Can I ask you a question?
No.
No.
We had this principal at my daughter's old school. He would do back to school night, and he'd finish every sentence with and such. And my
and
husband
such.
And I would sit there with a tally. And
I think that's just a nervous habit.
It is.
Yeah, that's
it
like
is.
A tick.
Yeah.
That's like saying like during a
right.
speech
right.
or something like that.
Right.
Wow. Any surprises on there in terms of words?
I gave you all that was listed on the list.
So whatever was the grand
whatever
winner.
Was the big winner and is what it is came in second.
All right. Well, let's be honest.
It is what it is. That's all
and
I can tell you.
I can't believe
whatever.
Win-win
I don't
isn't
know
on
anymore.
There. Personally, that. Win-win. Oh, and also state of the art. I'm a
well,
big,
win-win is more of a, business,
a business
thing.
Term.
And
yeah.
this was a consumer type
yep.
poll. So
gotcha.
I'm not
business
surprised
one,
that wasn't
win-win
on there.
Would be on there.
No, what
sure.
I hate value add.
That's another
well, if you're going
one.
To business words, yeah,
yeah
that's terrible. Win-win is bad. Solution provider. Oh.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have to stop talking now so we have enough time for Joe to give his
please,
rant.
I can't
and apparently,
stop talking.
There's
I can't.
Big news.
There's big news.
News.
Oh what's God. The breaking news, Joe?
Okay, if everyone hasn't heard it, I am here to share the big, big news. Drum roll, please.
It's going
to
be be about John and Kate.
Yeah.
John and Kate
I knew it.
Are back in the news again, and this time it's over something serious. So serious and important that it showed up on CNN.com last week. CNN and a host of other news networks. So what's going on?
I don't know.
It's
the battle of the birthday cake. I'm not making this up. These two twits were battling it out over whether to have a made-from-scratch cake or store-bought cake for their twins' birthday. Have you heard anything?
Let me guess who got the store-bought.
Kate makes from scratch, and Don wanted to do some big, expensive cake from a place in New York City, I bet.
Can you get your hand off me?
Have you heard of anything more ridiculous and asinine in your life? Seriously, this passes as news. Come on. Yes, you can.
Beep.
With that said, I am officially here to declare that their 15 minutes are up. I want them to go away. I don't want to see him in his hair plugs anymore. She can take her weepy single mother act to another country.
And
the media, and this includes you, you dirty old perv Larry King, are to
cease. Oh, we brought Larry King back into it.
John Gossin was on there 2 weeks ago, and Larry's asking about sex. It's like, come on, dude, the suspenders are too tight. Stop giving this fractured, dysfunctional couple coverage.
Can I just tell you something?
No, you are perpetrating this annoyance and it must end. Think of what this is doing to those poor kids, or worse, what it's doing to me. My head is going to explode.
Hey, listen.
Oh my God.
Maddie's name was spelled wrong on the store-bought cake, John Paul.
Oh no.
Two D's. She only has one.
Oh. All right. Well, way to wrap up the show, Joe. Thanks very much. Thanks to all of our listeners today, and thanks for everyone who called in. You can call in again next week. We'll be on Tuesday morning at 10:30. Go Phillies.
Woo! Yeehaw!